Jeremiah chapter 31. And once you get your hand there, hold that, your finger there, and also turn to Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8. So you got two scriptures. You got Zechariah 2:8. Zechariah is right near the back of your Old Testament. And then Jeremiah, he's about three quarters through your Old Testament. Jeremiah 31, verses 1 through 3. And Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. Once you get that, why don't you stand? Today I want to talk to you on the thought, Israel, the apple of God's eye. Israel, the apple of God's eye. You're going to be hearing a lot about in the near future about Israel. You're already starting to hear it. They're probably, no doubt, going to have to bomb Iran's nuclear facilities. And I know the world's going to turn their back on Israel. But you better not. And I'm going to tell you right now, God loves Israel. And by the way, if America would have been doing their business, Israel wouldn't have to do this and be out in the limelight. And they don't bomb that nuclear site. The Iranians, once they get it up to full scale, they will nuke Israel. So Israel, for the survival of their country and their nation, they have to protect themselves, and they have to go on the attack. So you probably in the next coming weeks will probably see something done by Israel towards Iran. And I just hope America will stand with Israel. And by the way, the only reason America has been blessed down through our history of our country is because God has blessed America for a couple reasons. First of all, America has preached God's word. It's published God's word. It's sent more missionaries around the world in the past than any country in the world, from preaching the Lord about Christ Jesus and the gospel. If you think America wasn't ordained by God, you got another thing coming. And another great thing, the reason God has blessed America, is because America has always stood with Israel. And that's, Israel is very special to God. And so I hope, Brother Jordan, that our people, I hope our country, and I hope our president will stand with the nation of Israel. I worry about our country many times on the stand that they take. That's why when we elect people, we need to know what they stand for. And well, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 1 through 3. And then then I'm going to go to Zechariah 2:8. Notice what Jeremiah said. At the same time, saith the Lord. How many have got Jeremiah 31, verse 1? At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. When you mess with the people of Israel, you're messing with God. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared, verse 3, of old unto me, saying, yea, he's saying to Israel, look what God's saying to Israel. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I'm going to tell you right now, God loves Israel. And then would you just turn to Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 8. And I'll use this for my text. For thus saith the Lord. And by the way, Eddie, that's all that matters, what God says. Don't matter what I say, don't matter what you say, don't matter what we think, it's what God says. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory which hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. Now, if you touch Jerusalem, you touch the people of God, you're in trouble. Said, you touch them, you're touching the apple of my eye. Anybody want to get poked in the eye? Let's have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being our Savior. And Lord, we love the nation Israel. Lord, help me to bring a message that would be pleasing to you and a blessing to the people. Lord, I pray for the peace of Israel and I pray for the safety of Israel. I pray, dear God, somehow the Iranians somehow will be stopped from making that nuclear bomb so they won't hurt God's people over in Jerusalem and all throughout the part of Israel. Lord, help us as Christians to know what a precious people they are. Help us not get caught up in the viewpoint and the hatred of the world for the people of Israel. We ought to, Lord, we need to be standing straight tall and speaking out for the people of Israel. And so we thank you for that special little group of people you've picked out and drawn. And Father, we just pray that you'll bless us today. Help me to do well for you that I can be a blessing to the people. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, I want to try to show you some thoughts. What are God's thoughts and feelings for the nation of Israel? Well, you can see in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, God said, if you touch them, you've touched the apple of my eye. They're the apple of my eye. How many can say amen? Listen, Jeremiah 31:1-3 tells us that God Almighty has an everlasting love, for the people and the nation of Israel. God's love for the people of Israel will never cease. Folks, it will never cease. God's love for Israel is an eternal love. Just by the way, his love for us is an eternal love. How many can say amen to that? Zechariah 2:8, it tells us that Israel is the apple of his eye. Matter of fact, when you read 2:8, he said, I'll read it to you again. For he that touches you, he that touches Israel, he touches the apple of his eye. And I want to talk to you about the apple of God's eye today. Israel, the apple of God's eye. And it says there, he that touches Israel, you're touching the apple of God's eye. Now, in other words, what God's saying, Brother Brian, is this. He's giving people a warning. You keep your hands off of my people. I'll do it in Italian. I'm leaving my people alone. Are you with me? We ought to love the Jewish people. The world despises them, but we ought to love them. We ought to pray for the nation of Israel. Israel gave us our Bible. 40 Jewish men, 40 different authors, God used Jewish men, wrote the Word of God. Hello? Stay there in Zechariah, but I'm going to just read to you because I've got it marked here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God. God used holy men, Jewish men. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God used 40 Jewish people to write this Bible. Now they just penned, what God spoke to them. Like, for instance, I want to write a letter. I'll say, Rosie, I'm going to dictate a letter. I speak and she writes it down. That's what God, the Holy Spirit, spoke and they wrote down. It was no it was nothing of their idea. It was all God's. No private interpretation. Amen? And so, but we need to thank God for these special people who gave us our Bible. Not only did they give us our Bible, Brother Eddie, but they gave us our Messiah. They gave us our Savior. Jesus was born of a Jewish woman named Mary, and she was a virgin. Pastor Dave mentioned it this morning, and I'm not going to turn, but Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 through 24, you'll see why Mary was a virgin, and the Holy Ghost conceived in her, and she brought forth a son called Jesus. Why? So he could save his people from their sins. I'm glad that Jesus came to die for our sins. By the way, if Mary wouldn't have been a virgin, then Jesus would have had sin, but because she was a virgin, and see, there was no man's blood in her. She got God's blood. The Holy Spirit conceived in Mary. That's why the Bible says his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Can anyone say amen? But God used a Jewish lady to bring us a Messiah. Isaiah 7:14, 700 years before Christ was born. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, I thank God for Mary. I thank God for the Jewish nation. Amen? The Jewish people should not be despised and hated like they are. Hitler tried to kill everyone on the face of the earth. He found out he couldn't do it, though, right? Listen, the Jewish people, they should be praised and loved and thanked. I'm going to show you some scripture in just a few minutes here. In Zechariah 2:8, God's word says, these Jewish people that the world hates, a lot of people do. I don't. They're the apple of his eye. In Psalm 17:8, David said, keep me as the apple of thine eye. David, a Jewish man, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. The question is this, what is the apple of your eye? What is the apple of your eye? Well, the apple of your eye is the center part of your eye. It's the center part. It's that pupil of the eye. Right in the center. Boink. You ever see Three Stooges? Doink. But when you say that you're the apple of my eye, Jordan's wife is the apple of his eye. He loves her. She's very special to him, above all people. Amen? And listen, someone who is the apple of your eye is who is very special to you. Someone you cherish and love. Someone that you look above others. And so Israel was very special to God. And because they're very special to our God, Brother Jack, that'll be very special to us. I get a little irritated. Christians say, "Oh, I can't stand them Jewish people." I think that's wrong. I think that we ought to love those Jewish people. They're sinners just like you and I. By the way, they have to be saved just like you and I. They have to receive Christ just like you. They don't go to heaven because they're a Jew. No one goes to heaven unless they take that Jewish Messiah as their Savior. But God used them. Amen? Now notice, I want you to look at a scripture with me. I'm going to give you some scripture in the Old Testament today. Look at the book of Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Fifth book in the Bible. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, called the Pentateuch. Deuteronomy 32. Look at verse 8 through 10. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8 through 10. I'm in Deuteronomy 32, 8. When the Most High divided the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. And by the way, that land they're on, God gave it to them. As a matter of fact, Brother Bobby, he gave them a whole lot more land than what they got. I mean, the Palestinians, they want to take more from them. I'm going to tell you something. God's given a whole lot more that they haven't taken yet. Look at verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about, instructed him. He kept him, Jacob, Israel. He kept him as a what? Oh, yeah. Oh, God has a special affection for those people. And he kept him as the apple of his eye. Now, if you'll notice something there, in verse 10, he kept the people of Israel, Jacob, he kept him as the apple of the eye. Look up here. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob had the 12 sons of Israel. Remember, and then God changes Jacob's name to Israel. Look with me. Look at Genesis chapter 32. By the way, we're just going to keep heading back in Genesis, so you might as well keep turning with me. Genesis 32. Look at the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. That's what Genesis means, book of beginnings. Genesis 32. Genesis chapter 32, and look at verse 27 and 28. I'm doing a lot of teaching today. I'm not doing a lot of preaching. Tonight I'm going to do a lot of praising. Oh, man, I got, where do you see the scriptures I brought to you? I'm going to have me a Baptocostic fit tonight. Who's number one? And I'm just going to be bringing some scriptures that are going to knock your socks right off. I'm going to bring you some scriptures tonight about who's number one. And I'm going to have me a Baptocostic fit. I mean, matter of fact, I better have some water up here tonight, Jimbo. Make sure you get a cup of water for preacher up here, okay, for the services. Notice, what did I tell you, 27 and 28. Are you in Genesis 32? And he said unto him, what is thy name? He said, Jacob. By the way, the word Jacob means surplanner. And Jacob was always underhanding people, always trying to get around. So he was always trying to, he was a con artist. Jacob was a con artist. Kind of a surplanner. You know, always trying to get, you know. How many know what I'm talking about? He said, what's thy name? He said, Jacob. In verse 28, he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince has thou power with God, and with men has prevailed. God there changes Jacob's name. This old surplanner, Annie, that was always getting into stuff. God says, okay, pal, you've come a long ways. Now we're going to use you as a prince for God. That's Israel means prince for God. Prince for God or prince of God. That's what Israel means. And he takes this guy that used to be a surplanner, and now he makes him a prince for God. What's that say, Jordan? That means God can take any one of us and use us. It's just see if our heart's willing. You know, we all are a lot of Jacobs in our past. Surplanners. Always trying to get around things. Hello? But boy, I want to be in Israel for God, don't you? How many want to be in Israel for God? A prince for God. Well, I want you to turn with me to the beginning of the nation of Israel. Look at Genesis chapter 12. I think if people understood more about the nation Israel, they wouldn't have hatred for them, but they'd have love for them. Look at Genesis chapter 12. By the way, our Messiah was a Jew. So don't hate the Jews too much. Your Messiah was a Jew. Your Savior was a Jew. Hello? And now I know he was God in the flesh. I understand that. But I'm trying to give you a truth to love the Jewish people. Look at this. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I want to give you some truth here. This is a father of the Jewish people. This is a patriarch of Israel, Abraham. I preached about Abraham last Wednesday. I preached about how he believed God in Genesis 15, and God counted for righteousness. By the way, until you trust God, you don't get righteousness. It's not being a good person, not doing things. You gotta believe on Christ, that's when you get reckoned that righteousness. Well, the Bible says in 12:1, now the Lord, notice this, Brian, had said. See that, Jimbo? Had said? That's past tense. Bailey Ray, that's had said. That means God talked to him prior. Come here with me. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thee thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And by the way, every place that the people, the Jewish people have ever been, they've been a blessing to that country. America, we got Jewish people, we've been blessed because of them. Can anyone say amen? Look at verse 3. And Abraham, God says in verse 3, I will bless them. I'm in Genesis 12:3. I will bless them that bless thee. Abraham, you're going to become a great nation. And all those people that will bless your people, my people, the Jewish people, I will bless them. And curse him that curses thee. And thou shalt, and these shall all, watch, look at this. And these shall all families of the earth be blessed. How did all families of the earth be blessed? Because the Jewish people brought forth the Messiah. And Christ died for all people. Amen? Now stay with me. I want to show you a couple things here. God called Abraham to go out and start a nation for him. In verse 3, he said, I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And America's been blessed by Almighty because this nation stood with Israel. I'm going to tell you right now, if America ever turns their back on Israel, you just mark her down, we're in trouble. That's why when I go to vote for any political candidate, if they don't take a stand for the back Israel, I'm not going to vote for that candidate. I have some certain things about if they believe abortion's right to kill babies, I don't vote for them. I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican. If they're baby killers, I won't vote for them. If they don't stand behind Israel, I don't vote for them. And I think if Americans would start getting a positive attitude about what's right and what's wrong and put those kind of people in office that would stand for righteousness, our country would be blessed. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord, the Bible says, Psalms 33. Now listen to me. You say, well, preacher, you're getting pretty political. I wouldn't have said that. If I was you, I wouldn't say it either. But I'm going to say a whole lot more. Amen? You know what? Look up here, folks. I've been preaching for 40 years. You think this old codger, you think I'm going to change from when I'm going to preach like this to the day I die. I'm going to have the spit in me to the end. We need to start raising up some Christians and some preacher boys that got spit in them too. They'll stand up and say, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the politicians say. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to stand for God's word. I'm going to stand for Christ and his righteousness. I'm glad I got that out. I haven't preached for 2 Sundays. I know you're terrified. Listen, America's greatness, and I've said this, I'll keep saying it as long as I'm your pastor. America's greatness doesn't come from America. America's greatness comes from God. In Genesis 12:1, God hath said. That's a past tense. Abraham didn't look. I'm going to give you a truth here in just 1 minute here. Stay with me in Genesis 12. Abraham did not respond to God initially and immediately when God spoke to him. Look at Genesis chapter 11, verse 31 and 32. And Terah, that's Abraham's dad. By the way, Terah's name means delay, and I'll share that with you in just a minute. And Terah, that's Abraham's dad, took Abraham, his son, and Lot, his son, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, that was Abraham's wife, and his sons Abraham. If you just keep reading the Bible will tell you what it is. Amen. And they went from Ur of Chaldees to go into the land of Cana, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. So they were in the land of Ur of Chaldees. By the way, if I understand the scriptures, I believe that's right below where Babylon. See, that they were in the lower, if I understand what this is, it's the lower part of Iraq that you'd call today. Are you with me? Ur of Chaldees. I believe that was the lower part of what we call the nation Iraq. How many are with me yet? And see, the Garden of Eden was even south of that. That's another message. I say I get off the stuff, Brian. But anyways, and notice what it says in verse 32. And the days of Terah, that's Abraham's dad, 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So his dad died. Now I want you to hold your hand right there. Stay with me. I'm gonna give you a truth here in 1 minute. I'm working on a truth. And you're gonna say, "Oh wow, man, I never saw that before." Don't lose Genesis 12. Go to Acts chapter 7. God's gonna talk about this in Acts chapter 7. Stay in Genesis, because I'll come back to that. But look at Acts chapter 7. And look at verse 2. Acts 7. And look at verse 2. And he said, "Men, brethren," how many got Acts 7, 2? Say amen if you got Acts chapter 7. "Men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham." Uh-oh, we're going back to Genesis. He appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt, because you're a Bible student, before he dwelt in Haran. How many see that? He dwelt, Eddie, you're a Bible student, you preachers, and before he went to Haran. He spoke to him before. That means he spoke to him when he was in the Ur of Chaldees. Are you with me? He spoke to him before he dwelt in Haran. I know they got a C there because the Hebrew to the Greek. Are you with me? And said unto him, look what he said to him before he went to Haran. Look what God said to Abraham. "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come unto the land which I will show thee." How many see that? "Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land whence ye now dwell." Do you see that? How many see that? Now, what that's saying is this, Eddie. Abraham didn't obey God until his father died. God spoke to Abraham before, when he was in the Ur of Chaldees. When he went to Haran with his dad, Lizzie, he should have left his dad in the Ur of Chaldees. He wasn't supposed to be with his family. He let his dad be an obstacle for him serving God. Hello? Abraham should have left before his dad died. Matter of fact, we're led to believe that Abraham was the call, and we know this because the Bible says it. He was called when he was in the Ur of Chaldees, before they went to there. Now watch. By the way, you know, Terah, his dad, you know what the Terah means? Delay. Terah, Abraham's father, his name means delay. Because he delayed Abraham from going. How many are still with me? Abraham should have left the father before he went to Haran. Those years he spent in Haran with his dad. And boy, when I went to Bible college, Dr. Brick taught me it was 5 years that they spent there. Jordan, I spent over an hour yesterday, trying to find that what I was taught back in 1975 in Bible college. Bobby, I couldn't find it. So I was taught that he was there 5 years, but I can't prove it because I can't find it. But how many years Abraham spent in Haran, look up here, they were wasted years. Whether it had been 2 years or 5 years or whatever amount of time it was, those years that he spent in Haran waiting on his dad to die were wasted years because God already gave him a command to leave. Are you still with me? You got to get this truth because I'm working on something here. Abraham should have never delayed his calling from God. But he wasted all those years in Haran. It wasn't until his father died that he responded to the call of God. And I said, interesting, Terah's name means delay. Now here's what I want to give you some thought here. Today listen up to me. I wonder how many here has God spoke to you about something and you've been delaying doing it? I wonder if God has spoke to some of you about certain things in your life and you've been delaying doing it. Has God called you to do something in your life but you haven't done it yet? You've been still delaying? Are you putting God off like Abraham did? Are you delaying on what God wants you to do? Hello? Some of you might be like Abraham right now. God's been speaking to you about something. He wants you to do something, and you keep saying, I'll do it later. Oh, yeah, I know. Okay, God, I'll do it later. Maybe tomorrow, maybe 2 weeks from now. Oh, God, when this changes. No, you need to drop whatever God tells you to do. You need to trust God. When you know for sure God's telling you to do something, you need to trust God, and you need to do it. Are you putting off what God's asked you to do? Are you delaying like Abraham did with his father? Note also in Genesis 12:1, leave your country and all your family. Are you in Genesis with me? Look at Genesis 12:1. Oh, I tell you, not only did he delay, Brian, he didn't go when God first called him, but then he did something else. The Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. In other words, he said, Abraham, grab your wife Sarah, and get out of there. Well, first of all, he delayed. But second of all, not only did he delay, but then when he finally said, okay, God, my dad died, now I'm going to leave. Look at verse 4. Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Uh-oh. He shouldn't have won him. He finally did what? Lizzie's got half of it right. He's finally going, but he's taking too much baggage. Because God said, get away from all that. Because sometimes they'll take you down. He wasn't supposed to take his nephew Lot with him. He was just supposed to grab his wife and go. Because when you get married, you and your wife are one. You don't go nowhere without her, and she don't go nowhere without you. Hello? These people, boy, yeah, this is good. These people take separate vacations. You're a knucklehead. You might have fun, but that ain't how God ordained it. Tim, you take a vacation, you take your wife with you, and I know you do. I take a vacation, I'm going to take Rosie with me. Amen? Whether she wants to go or not, she's going. She wants me to go so she can have a vacation away from me. No, you're not having that much fun. Are you in Genesis with me? Look at 13:1 of Genesis. Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and he had, look how God puts this, and Lot with him. Isn't this somehow God brings that up? Oh, yeah, and by the way, not that he have his wife with him like he should, but you know that nephew Lot? He's with him too. Look down at verse 6, chapter 13. The land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for the substance was great, and they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. Oh! I wouldn't be had that trouble if he wouldn't have took Lot. You know, God always has it right from the beginning. We always try to tweak God, don't we? Can I tell you something? God don't need us to help him. We need him to help us. Stay with me. Look at verse 14 and 15. And the Lord said unto Abraham after that Lot was... So Lot separates. Now watch this big truth. Oh, my lands. In verse 14, Lot finally separates. Now, Jordan, look what God does here. If you're a student of the Bible, watch this, Ruthie, because I know you study. And the Lord said unto Abram, after. Did you notice that word? The Lord said after Lot was separated from him. Okay, now you're finally where, you finally got in position, Lot, Abraham, where I finally got you where I wanted. You know, you're gone from your, and you now you got, now you're finally doing what I first told you in the beginning. Boy, it's too bad we can't get to that spot right in the beginning when God tells us. We got to go through all this hassle before we finally get to the place where God wanted us in the beginning. Look what he says. He said, after that Lot had separated from him, he said, now look what he says. Lift up now thine eyes. Look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now I can use you. Now I'm going to bless you, and now you're going to start to do what my plan is for this nation, what we're going to call Israel. And you see all this land? I'm giving it to you and your people, the people of God, Israel. Let me see that. Now, listen. Sometimes God will withhold blessings until we finally surrender in obedience to his word. You say, well, I wonder why God ain't blessing me, preacher. Maybe you ain't fully got where he wants you to be. Hello? Maybe you're still in disobedience. We all have our, what we call hang-ups. I wonder what our hang-up is today. What's your hang-up with God that God wants from you, that God wants to speak to you? Look up, you need to listen from the man of God. God put this in my heart to tell you. Some of you need to hear what I'm saying to you today. You got some hang-ups. And you're wondering why God isn't really big in your life. It's because you haven't been fully surrendered in obedience to him, and he's not going to bless you until you're in full obedience to him. Hello? Proverbs 7:1 and 7:2 says this, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. We need to focus on God and make God in his holy word, make it the center of our life. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? But God wants us to make it the center of our life. Abraham had a slow start for God. But boy, he had a slow start. But man, Bobby, he was like the three, at the end, he was putting it on. Let me tell you how good he came. So much better that God calls him. God's word says he was a friend of God. He was called a friend of God. By the way, he's the only one that God says that about. In 2 Chronicles, just let me read them to you. 2 Chronicles 27, Abraham, thy friend forever. Abraham, thy friend forever. Isaiah 41:8, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. You mess with Abraham, you're messing with God's good friend. James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled. Over in Genesis 15:6 that I preached on Wednesday. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And Abraham, he was called the friend of God. Who wants to be a friend of God? Listen, when you go against Abraham's children, you go against the friend of God. And Abraham's children are the Jewish people. Are you with me? You can just sit there. I'm just going to read you a bunch of scripture right now. I'm going to give you like a grand, the grand finale. You can turn with me if you like. I'm going to read to you Psalms. Psalms 122. Why am I talking this today? Look up to me before I read to you. Everybody look to me. The closer we get to the coming of Jesus Christ, listen to this preacher, I know what I'm talking about. Jeff, the more we get closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, and he is coming, the more the world is going to hate Israel. The closer we get to the coming of Christ, the more the world's going to hate Israel, but God's people should always say, no, we love Israel. Amen? And preachers need to preach on this. Preachers need to let people know. You Sunday school teachers, you need to teach your students in your classes that Israel's important to God, because the world's going to try to teach our kids in their school and everywhere they go that they hate the Jewish people, but don't you hate them. You love them because God says they're precious. They're the apple of his eye. Amen? Psalms 22. I was glad, verse 1, Psalms 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. I can't wait that gate opens up. There's a gate that's closed. It's been closed for hundreds of years. But when Christ comes back, it's going to bust right open. Woo, I can't wait to see. I'm going to be there to see that too. Look, Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, thrones of the house of David. Look at verse 6 and 7. Pray, hey you Christians, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. You love Israel, God will bless you. Goes back to Genesis 12:3. Peace be within the walls, prosperity within the places. He's talking about you that love the Lord. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say peace be with thee, within thee, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. God said, if you love my people, man, I'll seek good for you, buddy. That's all, folks. Hello? How many believe God's word? Let me read you some scripture out of Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6 and 7. Don't you let the world get you caught up hating Israel. You love Israel. You take a stand for the nation Israel. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. By the way, it's an eternal city. It's a city that God loves. It's a holy city. O Jerusalem, which shall never hold thy peace day nor night. Ye shall make mention of the Lord. Keep not silence. Keep not silence. And give him no rest till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Right now they're a curse in the earth, but one day, Brother Billy, Jerusalem's going to be a praise in the earth. I can't wait for that time, amen? How many can say amen to that? Isaiah 63:7-8. I will mention thy loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed upon them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. Hello? Anybody home? Can anyone say amen? And then I just want to finish off in this scripture, in these scriptures here, and I'll close. In Zechariah, that's right where I started, Zechariah. I'm going to go back to Zechariah chapter 2. I'm getting there. There we go. Zechariah 2:8. I'm going to read just a few more scriptures and we're going to pray. And it's all going to be in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah 2:8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts. I've read the scripture over and over, by the way. After the glory which he had sent unto me, unto the nations which spoiled you. For seek all the nations are going to go, Arlene. All the nations are going to go against Israel. Well, I hope America doesn't. Bobby, at least to the rapture. I hope America holds out till we get raptured up, Bobby. And I think we could prolong that if we'll speak out for God's people. Unto the nation which spoiled you, for he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. Russia wants to destroy. Russia, I know Russia, the Bible teaches, I ain't got time to preach it today. The Old Testament teaches over in Ezekiel, Russia's going to come down and try to destroy Israel. God's going to put hooks in their jaw. Amen. I love it. Stinking left, right. I love it. Yabba dabba doo. Stinking red machine. Going to make them black and blue. And dead. Look at chapter 8. Thus, verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion. I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Where is he dwelling? In Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth. It's also called the city of God. And the mountains of the Lord, of the host of the holy mountains. Can anyone say amen? Look at Zechariah 8:8. Look at 8:8. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people. Talking about the people of Israel. And I will be their God. He will be in truth and in righteousness. One day when Christ comes back, after the rapture is going to happen, then 7 years of tribulation, then we come back into Revelation. At that time when Christ sets up his kingdom, the millennium, Israel will receive Christ as their king. That's exciting, isn't it? See, the Bible teaches now that over in Romans 11, I think it's 25, says that blindness in part has happened to Israel. They're spiritually blind. They just can't see that Christ is their Messiah. They can't see it. But one day they will see it. By the way, it's a good thing. Don't get high-minded. Romans teaches, don't get so high-minded, you hillbillies, Jack. Because if the Jews wouldn't have turned them down, the Gentiles would have never been grafted in. Because they're the natural branch. We're just an olive. We're grafted in. Hallelujah. Because of their blindness. Hello? Look at Zechariah 9:9. I hope I'm not boring you. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. That's talking about Israel. Shout, O daughter Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. This is, by the way, this is an Old Testament scripture prophecy about Christ coming the first time. He is just having salvation lowly, riding upon the ass, upon the coat and the foal. Remember how Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey? That's a prophecy. 500 years before Christ was born, this prophecy said he'd come right into Jerusalem on a donkey. Hello? Well, I'm glad God's word's true. Look at Zechariah 13:6. Almost done. Hold on to your seat. And one shall, now, this is so beautiful, Brian. And one day Christ is going to stand in front of those Jewish people. One shall say unto him, what are these wounds? Remember those Calvary? Remember they put the nails in his hand? Their wounds they haven't healed. They're not scars. They're wounds. Wounds. Yes. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those which I was wounded for in the house of my friends. Oh, boy. Isn't that something, Annie? Woo! Man, I'm going to tell you right now. Yeah, if that don't send chill bumps through you, woo, man, these are in the house of my friends. Let me give you one last and I'll quit. Isaiah, look at, no, Zechariah 14, look at verse 1. This is when he comes back. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Now, he's going to call us up before this. This is the revelation here, Brian. You and I are going up in the rapture. We're going up 7 years before this happens. What I'm going to read to you right now. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and the spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. And I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. Boy, Armageddon! You're always hearing that word, Armageddon. And Revelation 16, 16. And he gathered them all to places called Armageddon. It's getting ready! We're just about ready to see it, Billy. Man, coming previews. Now we'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. City shall be taken and houses riven and women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Look at verse 4, and I'll stop. And his feet, the feet of Christ. Oh, I love this. It's right in the Mount of Olives that he's talking. Let me just get this. Billy, I get so excited when I don't stroke out when I get about this. See, I know this is going to actually happen. You think I'm cracking up, but if you knew what I knew, you'd be excited. When you read Acts chapter 1 and Christ, Acts 1, 9, 10, 11, when Christ goes, he walks out after he'd been on this earth for 40 days. How many with me? He walks out in the Mount of Olives, and he, up, far uptown. Yeah, I mean, he's going up. I mean, those disciples go in Acts chapter 1. Wow! Woo! Holy. And the angels that came said, ye men of Galilee, why stand up gazing in this same Jesus taken up from you? He shall come in like manner. Here it is. This is the sequel to Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Are you with me? His feet shall stand in the day upon the Mount of Olives, the very place, Bay Ray, the very place where Jesus' foot, I believe this with all my heart, honey, the very place where Jesus' foot left in the Mount of Olives when he went up to heaven, I believe his foot's going to touch that very spot where he left. And when he does, Jerry Lewis, a whole lot of shaking going on. There's going to be a great earthquake. Whole lot of shaking. Because the king's coming. The King of Kings is coming. And his feet shall stand in the day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, and east towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed towards the north, and half of it toward the south. And if you want to read this more, start reading Revelation chapter 19 and go all the way to the end. It'll give you the full picture. Revelation chapter 20 tells you about how he sets up his kingdom that 1,000 years. Revelation 21 tells you how when he comes back, he's going to start a new heaven, new earth. I'm going to tell you something. Love the apple of God's eye, the Jewish people. One day, they will pierce him as they will. One day they will receive him as their Lord and King, the Jewish people. And never forget that Jewish king is coming back. Revelation 19, 16 says, and he hath in his vesture and his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who's coming. The king is coming. The king is coming. I can hear the trumpet sounding. And now, I wish I knew the rest of the words. Oh, the king. I know the truth of the song. The king is coming. I'm telling you, look up here. The king. The king. The king of the Jews. The king of the Jews. He's coming. Praise God. Praise God. He's coming for me. I hope he's coming for you. The only way you're going to come is if you know him as your Savior. You must be born again. I'm going to tell you right now, he's coming. We're starting to see it coming. The world is in turmoil. All the world currencies are collapsing. All the world's currencies are collapsing. Check out the IMF, International Monetary Fund. Check it out. They're all collapsing. We're getting ready for the one world government. We're getting ready for the one world currency. Because the world's getting ready for the King of the Jews to come back. Whew. He's going to call us up, Jordan, 7 years before he comes. He's going to call us up in the clouds. 7 years later, we're going to come right back with him on this earth. In what we call the revelation of Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Love those Jewish people. Love those Jewish people. Love the nation Israel. They're the apple of God's eye. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we've had in the Word of God. Thank you for Israel, who brought us our Messiah, who gave us our Bible. And Lord, I know you gave us your Bible, but you used 40 different authors, Jewish authors, to pen it. And Father, I thank you. And Lord, we pray for the peace of Israel. We do. We pray that you'd watch over them. God, I pray that something would happen, that you would intervene. Lord, Iran has to be stopped before they would destroy. I know you're not going to let them destroy Israel. So I know something big is going to have to happen. No, I know, Lord, it cannot happen without you. Father, I pray that our president, our senators, our House of Representatives, I pray our everybody in office of our country would care about the protection of Israel. Lord, that they would always stand with God's nation, Israel. Lord, please. Help Americans and help Christians to care about that great little people that you raised up from Abraham. Help us to love them. Help us to pray for them. Help us to be thankful for them. And then, Lord, most of all, I pray everyone here, Lord, that they know you as their Savior. Lord, it wouldn't be no good if they didn't know Christ as their Savior. I wonder, before we go home today, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure. I know for sure there was a day I saw myself a lost sinner, and I saw myself in need of Christ, and I asked Christ to save me. Could you raise that hand? I know I'm saved. Could you raise that hand? I'm positive. I know I'm saved. Thank you. You may put it down. Maybe you're here today and you don't know. And you'd say, Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. By the way, it's not being a Baptist, it's not being a Catholic, it's not being a Lutheran. No religion, no baptism. It's all Christ. Maybe you're hearing you say, Preacher, I've never realized I was a lost sinner going to hell. And I never really realized that Christ died just for my sins and that I need to personally invite him into my heart, just like I would, like if he was knocking at my house, I'd say, come on in, Jesus. Well, that's what you need to do today. If you've never personally asked Christ to come into your heart, you need to say, Christ, come in my heart and save my soul. Be my Savior. I trust you right now. How many say, Preacher, I've never done that, but I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven and pray for him. Anyone like that? Just raise your hand and put it back down. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, and I'd sure like to know. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? Pray for me. I'm not sure. Father, I pray with all my heart that just like blindness has happened to Israel, I pray that blindness has not come upon the people in this congregation. And I pray it won't not come to our nation. Help our nation to see the importance of Christ and the nation of Israel. But help these people today especially to see the importance that they need a Savior to get them to heaven. And that Christ Jesus is the Son of God who died for their sins and was buried and rose that third day and is coming again. And they must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Help them to understand that, Father. Help them to come to a saving faith. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.